First of all, before we start, I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's telephone conference call meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants, including board members, please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Please mute your phone when you are not speaking. Meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions Portal. Follow the link and select the name of the board. Okay, the first order of business this morning is the approval of the minutes of January 18th, 2024. Is there any item on the minutes that needs to be addressed or corrected from the board members? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of January 18th,
2024. Ewing moves.
Blumhardt moves to approve.
Okay, I heard the motion by Ewing, and the second was?
Blumhardt second.
Blumhardt second. Okay, any further discussion regarding the minutes? If not, Secretary, call the roll. Approval of the minutes.
Blumhardt?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Barry Hag?
Aye.
Carpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Schultz?
Aye.
Chairman Hag?
Aye. Motion carries. The minutes are approved from January 18th. Next, move on to mining issues consent calendar. Mr. Klein, are you present?
Chairman, I'm present. We'll answer any questions the board may have.
Okay. I'll ask, first of all, if there's any item on the consent calendar that any member of the board would wish to be removed for personal consideration. Outside of the group. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Carpenter moves to approve the consent calendar as presented. That was easy to say.
Motion by Carpenter, is there a second?
Ewing second.
Morris seconds.
I think I heard Ewing second. So the moved and second to approve the consent calendar. Secretary, call the roll on the approval of the consent calendar.
Blumhardt?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Hag?
Aye.
Carpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Schultz?
Aye.
Chairman Hag?
Aye. Motion carries. Consent calendar is approved. The next item is the transfer of mine permit 416 from VMC LLC to DTRC LLC. Mr. Holm.
DTRC LLC has requested transfer of RTL mine permit 416 from VMC LLC. The general location of the permitted operation is approximately 5 miles west of Leeds, South Dakota, near Spearfish Canyon. Under SDCL 45-6B-47, any mine permit can be transferred from one operator to another, with the successor operator assuming all reclamation liability. The complete transfer application form was submitted February 5th, 2024. The $100 transfer fee was submitted January 23rd, 2024. The $23,100 replacement surety was submitted January 31st, 2024. And the application was declared complete on February 5th, 2024. Our recommendation to transfer the permit was prepared on February 19th, 2024. It was published in the Black Hills Pioneer on March 7th and 14th, 2024. We did receive the affidavit of publication yesterday, March 20th, and we also posted the public notice on our public notice webpage. No intervention petitions or comments were received on the application. Under SDCL 456047, the board cannot deny a mine permit transfer unless the operation is not or cannot be brought into compliance with all applicable federal, state, or local laws, or the successor operator is in violation of state mining laws or mine permit conditions for any mining operation in the state. The current mine permit and DTRC LLC are in compliance with all federal, state, and local laws and regulations. DTRC LLC also submitted a certification applicant form and disclosed no violations. Our recommendation is to transfer large-scale mine permit 416 and liability from BMC LLC to DTRC LLC, release irrevocable letter of credit number 248, First Interstate Bank, Spearfish, South Dakota, in the amount of $3,100, and accept CD number 66010111949, First Interstate Bank, Reed, South Dakota, in the amount of $23,100.
All right, thank you. Questions from the board on the transfer? I do know that we also had some people that called in, and I would submit a comment regarding this transfer if there's somebody that called in specifically for this issue. If they did, they may go ahead and speak about that. And the issue would be, I think the only issue regarding this matter would be if somebody has information that somebody is not in compliance. As Eric pointed out, that is the only board can consider. So in any event, if someone would like to speak on the issue, they may do so now, and we'll consider that before we make our motion. Okay, hearing none, any further discussion on the board? All right, I will entertain a motion to approve the transfer, large-scale mine permit 416 by VMC LLC to DTRC with the recommendation of the CDs that are in place to cover that that liability. So that I'll entertain a motion regarding that.
Carpen moves to approve the transfer.
Motion by Carpen to approve the transfer. Is there a second?
Schultz, second.
This is Gary Haig. I'll second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I heard Ms. Schultz is second first, so we're on record as the second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion before the vote? Hearing none, Secretary, call the roll on the motion to approve.
Boomhart?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Haig?
Aye.
Carpen?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Schultz?
Aye.
Chairman Haig?
Aye. Motion carries. Transfer is approved. Okay, next order of business is the annual update of post-closure financial assurance for Homestake Mining Company permits 332 and 456. Mr. Holm.
In the May 18th, 2006 order regarding the post-closure financial assurance for mine permits 332 and 456, it states that financial assurance shall be automatically extended for periods of 1 year. At the time of each annual extension, the face value of the financial assurance shall be adjusted to the bonding by the board in 2006 and updated in 2012, 2018, and 2023 during 5-year financial assurance reviews. For 2024, the face value of the surety bond that serves as a post-closure financial assurance is required to be $82,400,000 $4,927. This is an increase from the $80,201,732, which was submitted last year. For the increase, Homestake submitted a writer to surety bond number 8233-63-10, Federal Insurance Company, which increases the amount to the new face value. Federal Insurance is licensed in South Dakota and is on the U.S. Department of Treasury list of approved surety companies. Ratings for the company from AM Best, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch's are superior, very strong, high quality, and very high credit, respectively. Outlooks are stable except for a positive outlook from Moody's. Our recommendation is to accept the writer to surety bond number 8233-63-10, Federal Insurance Company, increasing the post-closure financial assurance amount to $82,004,927.
All right. Questions for Mr. Holm regarding the update of post-closure financial assurance for Homestake? I'm sorry, Eric. I wasn't listening when you said the discount rate for this year was what?
We lowered that last year to 4.2%.
Okay. All right. Further questions from the board? If not, is there any person that is called in, either from Homestake or anywhere else, that has any comments regarding this matter at this time? Okay. If not, I will... is this Eric, is this one that needs a vote, or is this just a update?
We'll need a vote.
Okay. All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the update of the post-closure financial assurance for Homestake Mining Company permits 332 and 456.
Ewing, motion to approve.
Motion by Ewing, seconded by Morris, to approve. Further discussion. I'm sorry, go ahead. Moved and seconded. Further discussion from the board. Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll on the post-closure financial assurance for Homestake Mining Company. Permits 332 and 456.
Blumhart?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Hag?
Aye.
Harpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Schultz?
Aye.
And Chairman Hag?
Aye. Motion carries. Next order of business is the discount rate and annual update for post-closure financial insurance permit 445. Mr. Holm again, thank you.
Okay. In the post-closure conditions for mine permit 445, which were approved by the board on January 21st, 2016, it states financial insurance shall be automatically extended for periods of 1 year. At the time of each annual extension, the face value of the financial insurance shall be adjusted the bonding schedule set by the board in 2016 and updated in April of 2022 as part of the five-year financial assurance review. For 2024, the face value of the surety bond that serves as the post-closure financial assurance is required to be $40,634,534. This is an increase from $31,596,628 amount, which was submitted last year. Besides the annual update, the increased cover is lowering the discount rate from 5% to 4.2%. And as the board recalls, last October, it approved lowering that discount rate for the home stakes permit 332 and 456 post-closure bond. And this new discount rate is being applied to all post-closure bonds. For the increase, Homestake Mining submitted a writer of surety bond number 091-7703, Fidelity and Deposit Company in Maryland, and Zurich American Insurance Company, which increases the amount to the new face value. Both surety companies are licensed in South Dakota and are on the U.S. Department of Treasury list of approved surety companies. Ratings for both companies from AM Best, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch's are superior, very strong, high quality, and very high credit, respectively. Outlooks are stable to positive. Our recommendation is to accept the writer to surety bond number 091-7703, Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland, and Zurich American Insurance Company, increasing the post-closure financial assurance amount to $40,634,534.
All right, thank you, Eric. Questions from the board for Mr. Holm? Are there any additional comments from anybody that called in regarding this matter? All right, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the discount rate and annual update post-closure financial assurance to $40,634,534 from Fidelity Deposit Company of Maryland and Zurich American Insurance Company.
Morris moves to approve.
Motion by Morris. Is there a second?
This is Gary Haig. I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded to approve the increase in the bond to $240,634,534. Further discussion from the board? Hearing none, Secretary call the roll of the motion to approve.
Blumhart?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Haig?
Aye.
Carpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Schultz?
Aye.
And Chairman Haig?
Aye. Motion carries. The new rider is accepted. All right, the legislative update, next order of business, and that, I believe, is with Mike Lees. Mike, are you there?
Yes, Chairman Haig. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, Mike Lees, administrator of DANR's Minerals, Mining, and Superfund program. Last time the board met, I gave you an update on Senate Bill 111. Bill did successfully make its way through the legislature, was approved. Had a few amendments along the way. I can kind of go through the bill briefly, section by section, and let you know what changed. So everybody has the bill from the packet. In section one, that section essentially allows mining of limestone for both agricultural purposes and construction purposes under a mine license. So formerly, if you wanted to mine lime to use as a soil amendment or other agricultural purposes, you had to get a permit. The section two changes a few things, specifically in terms of logistics for the board. Well, the first thing there in the first sentence, an operator shall submit a surety to the department to be held under the authority of the board. So this language was added in there. The intent is that Chairman Haig will no longer have to serve as a signatory on all the myriad construction aggregate CDs and surety bonds that flow into the department. So we'll still bring all those before the board for release approval, but we won't have to shuttle them back and forth to Rapid City for Chairman Haig's signature. We'll have the department serve as a signatory on those. Continuing in section two, this is really the big change, the big win for the board and the department. We finally got an increase to the construction aggregate surety. This was really the subject of the two amendments that the bill went through. When I originally presented this to you, the maximum cap for statewide blanket was $500,000. That was decreased to $300,000. The other change that went into effect is that the implementation of the increases is staggered, both for the per acre cost and the statewide blanket. So over a five-year period, operators will have a chance to reclaim needed acres, get those off the books so that they don't have to pay the increased amount. But ultimately, at the end of the five-year period, surety requirement for construction aggregate, sand and gravel mines will be $3,850 per acre or a $300,000 blanket.
And that's from the current 20, Mike? Is that from the current 20 blanket?
Yep, currently it's $20,000, and now it's going up to $300,000.
Okay.
Section 2 also allows us to, or explicitly adds irrevocable letter of credit as a form of financial assurance that operators can use to give them more flexibility. Then Section 3 provides for a joint powers agreement. So, for instance, Minnehaha County currently requires construction aggregate operators to provide a bond at the county level. So if other counties or other government entities decide that they're going to have bond requirements, we can work together, or they can work with the state to preclude duplicate or double bonding on sites. So the first three sections are all about Chapter 45-6, the construction aggregate. Section 4 moves on to 45-6B, mine land reclamation. So essentially the surety requirements for both 45-6B, mine land reclamation, and 45-6C, mineral exploration, we updated the surety requirements for those as well. In Section 4, we went from a $2,500 cap on small-scale permitted mining up to a maximum cap of $38,500 per site. Section 5 gives the board explicit authority to establish procedures for posting and monitoring financial assurance. So it added in number 11 under 45-6B-81. So I guess our hope is within the next couple of years we're going to come before the board and bring financial assurance rules for mine permit activities, bring those to you and try to get some good rules established to make a clear path for folks in the future. We particularly want to do that before Eric Holm retires, whenever that may be.
All right. I agree with that.
And let's see here. In Section 6, we changed the cap for EX&I, the exploration, from $20,000 statewide to $100,000 statewide. That was actually in Section 7. In Section 6, there's been some gray area confusion. We just wanted it very clear that exploration operators have to post their surety before they can receive the written restriction letter, which allows them to commence operation. So in a nutshell, those are the big changes. We think this is a great win for everybody. It's been a long time coming. These surety requirements were established back in the early 80s, and I think everybody understands that they, especially the construction aggregate requirement, needed to be increased.
Yeah, I appreciate your work on that, Mike. This is going to be helpful, I think, to the board and give the state more protection. Questions from the board for Mike, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is Carpen.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Carpen.
Mr. Lees, I want to thank you very much for your work on this. This is, like you stated earlier, this is a long time coming. This gets us, you know, a lot closer to where we need to be, and gives me as a board member a comfort level now in comparison to what we had. Thank you.
Further comments or questions? Okay, thanks again, Mike, and we'll look forward to the implementation of this, and I look forward to not getting the signing packet. So,
thank you.
You bet. All right, looks like that's the completion of our business calendar. We'll enter the public comment period. This is time for members of the public to comment regarding business of the board, and so we will open up. I don't know if there's, first of all, if there's anybody in here, Brenda, that showed up to make comment. We'll start there.
We have no one from the public in our room with us.
Okay. Then secondly, if somebody has called in for this same purpose to comment, I will entertain that now. So if you have called in, go ahead and introduce yourself and make your comment if you like. Okay, hearing none, then we'll close the public comment period. Our next meeting, it looks like we might be able to skip April, but we will have some business to do in May, and we may even need to meet in peer. We'll have to discuss that. We're also looking at the potential of maybe a contested case hearing too, but we don't have enough of the details yet. So I guess the bottom line is we will, unless some emergency comes up, we'll skip April, and then looks like we'll be meeting in May. So that looks like the plan. So anything else by the board members or to come before the board before we adjourn?
The date for the May meeting is May 16th.
Okay, thank you, Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
Any further matters? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Marsh moves.
And motion is Carpen second. Secretary, I'll call a roll on adjournment.
Blumhart?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Hegg?
Aye.
Carpen?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
And Schultz?
Aye.
Chairman Hegg?
Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.